Take your Bibles, please, and find Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. But as I've already mentioned, I know that some of you have accounts that are far more personal than those. I'm thankful for all those individuals, and I think about the many families that have been so affected by the loss of so many. After the war between the states, people in the South, and then later people in the North, they would designate a particular day, and they'd go and they'd decorate the graves of their loved ones who had died in that war. They'd put flags and flowers and ribbons on the graves. They called it Decoration Day. But in various locations, the designated day varied. In some places it was this day, in some places it was that day. And ultimately, long story short, it was standardized. No longer is it simply a memorial to the individuals that lost their lives in the war between the states, but a memorial for the individuals throughout our history that have given their lives in the defense of our principles. And so it's Memorial Day, and it's the fourth Monday in May. And I know that for us, it's a time to kind of kick off the summer and vacation and cookout and all that. And we've got activities tomorrow. But I think we are wrong to overlook the reason for this particular observance. It's to remember those that have given all. Would you look, please, at Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Among the things that Paul is inspired to present in Romans chapter 5, he's presenting what is called the substitutionary atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the sense of it is this: our Savior, he gave himself in sacrifice. He died in my place. He died in your place. He offered himself as a substitute for all of humanity. It's called the substitutionary atonement. And if you look at verse 6, in the latter part of the verse, it says Christ died for the ungodly. Not for himself, for the ungodly. And then in verse 8, it says Christ died for us. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says this: all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the substitutionary atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll tell you who really understood that. And as far as I can tell, he was never saved. That's Barabbas. Because Barabbas was condemned to be put to death. He was a criminal and he knew it. He was guilty. And he was to be crucified, but right at what was seemingly the last moment, a substitute was offered. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Pontius Pilate, he gave them a criminal, Barabbas. And he gave them the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, you choose who will receive mercy. And they said, Barabbas. And he said, what were you having to do with Christ, with Jesus of Nazareth? And they said, crucify him, crucify him. And Barabbas right there understood the substitution of our Savior. Though as far as I can tell from the scriptures, he never understood or never received salvation. So in the text, there's the substitutionary atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you notice, in verse 7, Paul gives an illustration, a human illustration. And he says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. There are some that would die for a righteous man. And by that, a just man, a just man. And then he continues. He said, yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. For a good man, some, not all, but some would dare to die. Dare, as it's used here, it is sufficient courage for any purpose. Some men would dare to die for a good man, for a good man. That's the sense of it. And I want you to consider that this morning, for a good man. Those who have died for our nation, those who have died for our people, those who have died for our principles, those who have died for our interest, they died for a noble cause. May I say, for a good man. They died for a good man. But I call your attention to the fact, verse 8 goes in a contrary way. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Consider that. Even dare to die. Those in the military, sailors, soldiers, airmen, Marines, Coast Guardsmen, and all those in military service, and for that matter, those in law enforcement, by very occupation, you are saying, I dare to die for my country if required. And that's quite a profession. It really is. I ask you to consider that this morning for a little while. First, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that today we have the liberty to live our lives and to make our own decisions and to be responsible for ourselves. Thank you that today we have the freedom and the liberty and the opportunity to assemble here in worship. We're grateful for all the benefits we enjoy in this free republic. But we know that freedom is not free, and we know that it came at a great price. And the price continues to be paid to maintain freedom. And we thank you so very much for those many individuals, men and women, that have given their very lives in the defense of our nation. We thank you for their families who have suffered so much. My Father, we're grateful for your goodness to us. On this Sunday, we consider Memorial Day and the importance of it. Most of all, dear Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that our Savior made, that substitutionary atonement. We pray in his holy name. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Let me give you a couple of things about the sacrifice in verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. I ask you to think about that. And I ask you to think about those individuals that have given their very lives for our nation. First of all, their sacrifice was a complete sacrifice. Think about that. If a man gives his life, what more could he give? If a woman gives her life, what more could she give? It is a complete sacrifice. In John chapter 15, verse 13, my Savior said this. He said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater demonstration of love. You say love of country. Well, there's no greater demonstration than to lay down one's life. There's no greater price that an individual could give. There's nothing more he can give. He has given everything. It is a complete sacrifice. Now, I ask you to consider the many, I'm going to say hundreds of thousands that have given their lives throughout our history. And I have a list here of the major wars. Not every conflict, not every war, but the major wars. And I think about the many lives that have been lost. Far and away, the greatest loss of life was the war between the states, 1861 to 1865, with about 620,000 casualties north and south. And then World War II, 1939 to 1945, 405,000 casualties. World War I, 1917, 1918, 116,000 casualties, round numbers. Vietnam, 1965 to 1973, 58,209 lives. Korean War, 36,516 lives. The American Revolution, this is an estimate, but the estimate is 25,000 lives. War of 1812, 20,000 lives. Mexican-American War, 1846 to 1848, 13,283 lives. The War on Terror from 2001 through 2025, so it's not completely current, but the number I have is 7,091. Spanish-American War, 2,446. Those are the major wars, and I've omitted so much because it would take so much time and so much research to be more precise. But the point is this, a great price has been paid for the liberty and the freedom and the security that we enjoy. And ladies and gentlemen, nobody wants war. Nobody in his right mind wants war. War is ugly. I think about even in the examples that I gave you. I think about the deaths of enemy soldiers. I grieve at that. It was necessary in the circumstance. That's war. War. Nobody wants war, but I've got to tell you this. We will not enjoy any great measure of security, peace, unless we're willing to defend our principles. And it's another message for another day, but there's a great war going on within our nation right now. And we're a divided people, and there are those that for some reason, have a hatred of their own country. I don't get it. It's a complete sacrifice. Nathan Hale was captured, and he was hanged by the British September 22nd, 1776. His last words, "Only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." The sacrifice of those individuals who have given their lives in defense of our values, our principles, our people, it's a complete sacrifice. No more could be given. But it's also a comprehensive sacrifice. Now again, look at verse 7. The sense of it is, there are some that would die for a righteous man, and there are some that would die for a good man. That's the sense of it. That's a noble cause. There are some that would die for a good man. And to die for American principles, that is a noble cause. But I want you to consider this. Those individuals that have given their lives in the defense of our nation, they died for people they didn't even know. They died for people that didn't agree with them at all. They died for people that had different political views. They died for people that had different religion. They had died for people that were of different heritage. They died for people that were not like them at all. They died for what could be considered bad men as opposed to good men. You see, they died. It's a comprehensive. They died for everyone. They died for everyone. And that's so very important to remember. So very important to remember. It's a comprehensive sacrifice. I remind you of this. There were those that were fighting a war in Vietnam, and many gave their lives, what, 58,000 plus. But yet, here in the States, there were those in the streets protesting those that were fighting this war. And they were in the streets burning their draft cards and burning their flags and all that stuff, burning our flag, doing all those things. And yet, those soldiers that gave their lives in Vietnam, they gave their lives for those that protested the very reason they were there, as well as everyone else. It's a comprehensive sacrifice, and that's the sense of it. But then let me bring it back to where it really belongs. The text is about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to call that the crowning sacrifice. There's a complete sacrifice, a comprehensive sacrifice, but the crowning sacrifice. And you see, there's a contrast between verse 7 and verse 8. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." But now we're going to go in another direction. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We're sinners, and Christ died for us. Now, to make it even clearer, look at verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Did you get that? He died for the ungodly. And I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus, he paid the price for all men. He paid the penalty of sin for all men. He offered himself a sacrifice. And ladies and gentlemen, he's the perfect sacrifice, and he's the only sacrifice. He is yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15. He knew no sin, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And you see, he never committed sin. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He didn't inherit the sin nature that we all have, and he never sinned. Therefore, when they nailed him to that cross, he had no sin on his account. He paid for my sin and your sin. He's a substitution, a substitution, and he offered an atonement, the substitutionary atonement. And he's the perfect sacrifice, and he's the only one. He's the only one. And yet, all of us, we're all sinners by nature, we're sinners by practice. Notice, "God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Paul includes himself in that. And the Bible says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You are in chapter 5 of Romans. Look for just a moment at verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, we're all sinners by nature. We're sinners because we've inherited it from our people before us. And I love my ancestors, but we inherited it from them all the way back to our father Adam. We're sinners by nature. But we're also sinners by practice because we have all sinned. We have all sinned, and sin separates us from our Creator. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ paid for that. It says, "God commendeth his love toward us." Excuse me. "God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners." It's not that we were good, or that we got better, or we got right, or we turned over a new leaf, or anything. No, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to consider that, please. Our Lord Jesus, it's a complete sacrifice. When he made the statement, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He's really speaking about himself, because the next verse is verse 14. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command. He said, you're my friends. He laid down his life for you and for me and for all of humanity. It's a complete sacrifice. He could give no more. He could give no more. It's a comprehensive sacrifice. It's for every human being. As John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus, John 1:29, he said, behold, look, behold, behold the Lamb of God. Listen to this. Which taketh away the sin of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Listen, it's a comprehensive sacrifice. Don't you be deceived by this modern Reformation theology that says the atonement is limited and that Christ died only for the elect. Listen, he died for all men. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Think of this. My Savior was nailed to that cross, and he suffered and bled and died, and he paid for our sins on that cross. He said, it is finished, and everything that's necessary, that payment is complete. But I want to tell you something. He died for those men that put stripes on his back. He died for those men that plucked his beard and put a crown of thorns on his head. He died for those men that pierced his hands and his feet, just as he died for everyone else. It's a comprehensive sacrifice. He died for the sins of all humanity. He paid that price in full. It's a comprehensive sacrifice. The crowning sacrifice. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel is found throughout the Bible and throughout the New Testament. But one verse, John 3:16, another one is 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18, listen to this. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. Now think about that. Christ hath once suffered for sins. Get a hold of that. Once is enough. He is not sacrificed weekly at the Mass. Once is enough. Would you put him on the cross a second time? I wouldn't. Listen, Jesus paid it all, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. The just is the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, neither was guile found in his mouth. He is yet without sin. He knew no sin. He lived a sinless life, and he's the just. But listen, the substitution, the just for the unjust, and the unjust, that's all of us. That's all of us. If any man could live in a way that would justify him before God, then the Lord Jesus did not have to go to that cross. But I want to tell you, in John chapter 12, verse 27, he said, for this cause came I unto this hour, and there's no other way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That's called reconciliation. Look at verse 10, chapter 5, Romans verse 10. For when we were enemies, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I want you to notice reconciliation. That is, the sin that separates me from God was paid for by my Savior on Calvary's cross, therefore offering me reconciliation with my Creator, the new birth, a spiritual birth, an adoption in the family, eternal salvation, an abundant life, and a purpose right here. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. How did he do it? Being put to death in the flesh, crucifixion, but quickened by the Spirit, resurrection. It's the gospel in one verse, my dear friend. I ask you to consider that. The Lord Jesus Christ, his is the crowning sacrifice. He sacrificed himself for all men. And he offers what Paul calls, we're in chapter 5. If you go to chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. We're all under that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. The Lord Jesus Christ purchased a gift on Calvary's cross. He paid a price that you and I could never pay, and Jesus paid it all. And he offers you a gift. Now, I said earlier that it's a comprehensive sacrifice, that he paid for the sins of all humanity. But not everyone will benefit from that, because not everyone will obey the gospel. You read Romans chapter 10, and Paul says, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? So what does it mean? How is it that one obeys the gospel? Or how does one receive the gift of eternal life? Ladies and gentlemen, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's the grace of God extended to you from the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, and it is received by faith. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Do you believe that? Believe in thine heart. It's more than a head knowledge. It's more than a theology class. It's to believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. The resurrection is essential to the gospel. Without the resurrection, there is no assurance. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And then act upon that. Make a decision. The Bible says in Romans 10, 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul says that is the simplicity that is in Christ. Men make it complicated and stumble all over it. I've presented that to individuals who said, there must be more to it than that. No, that's all there is to it. The Lord knows how weak we are. Look at it. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, we couldn't help ourselves. In due time, at the appointed time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And he paid it all on Calvary's cross. And he offers you the gift of eternal life. Now that gift, it must be received. Have you received it? For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Have you come to God? Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The Spirit says, come, the Holy Spirit. The bride of Christ, the church, says, come. Have you come? Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How do you come? You believe in your heart, and you call upon him and trust him as your Savior, in whom you also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, the crowning sacrifice, the complete sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, the substitutionary atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, spoken of in this text, that's the greatest sacrifice there ever could be. Have you acted upon that? Have you received the gift of eternal life? If you have not, why don't you let this be the day? Yesterday is done. The past cannot be changed. The future is uncertain. All you know is this moment. Won't you let this be the day? And won't you believe in your heart? Won't you call upon him in prayer? No one can make a decision for you, but I could perhaps help you. If you're uncertain about your eternity and you need help, let me or someone help you at the invitation. Won't you do that? Won't you do that? Now, I want you to think about something else. In the latter part of verse 7, it says, some would even dare to die. And I say to all those in the United States military, your occupation, it states that you are willing, if necessary, you are willing, you would dare to die for your people, for your nation, for your principles. Dare to die. Great many Christians have dared to die. Throughout the church age, there are numbers. I mean, there's no way to even make a count. There are great numbers of individuals who lost their lives rather than deny the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those in the world today that are being persecuted and even slain because they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They dare to die. Well, you and I have not really been faced with that, Christian, and I'm grateful for that. But let me give you the other side of that coin. If the Lord Jesus Christ, if this book is worth dying for, isn't it also worth living for? Would you dare to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, it's one thing to die for him, and that is certainly a noble cause, and there's no greater price that anybody could pay. It's one thing to die for your nation, and it's a noble cause, and there's no greater price that anybody could pray. But listen, I'm not called upon at this point to give my life for my country. I'm not called upon to give my life for the cause of Jesus Christ. I don't know what the future holds, and I don't know how strong I really am. But if the cause is worth dying for, it is certainly worth living for. And if you would dare to die for your country, would you live for your country? Would you be a good, productive citizen? Would you be involved? Listen, our government is based upon individual responsibility. government by the consent of the people. You're to be involved in that process. Your representatives need to know, and you certainly need to exercise your right to vote. You need to be involved. I don't mean to get political. I'm just saying be a good citizen. Be a good citizen. If you dare to die, then you should dare to live for your nation. If you dare to die for the Lord Jesus Christ, then certainly you should live for Him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Is the Lord Jesus your Savior? If you've got any concern, any doubt about that, won't you let me or someone here today help you at the invitation? You say, that is my testimony. I have that settled from the Word of God. These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. And it's belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that your testimony? You say it is. All right, would you dare to live for Him? Would you endeavor to make a difference in this old world for the Savior? What the world needs and what this great republic needs is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you willing, church, to use your time, your talent, and even your resources for the great cause of our Savior? I ask you to consider that today. Dare to die, would you dare to live? I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud, with hair cut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in a crowd. I thought how many men like him had fallen through the years, how many died on foreign soil, how many mothers' tears. How many pilots' planes shot down? How many died at sea? How many foxholes were soldiers' graves? No, freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and I felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen, when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children of mothers and their wives and the wives. I thought of all the children, the mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves at Arlington. No freedom isn't free. Thank you for being attentive. Thank you for your faithfulness. Let's stand together for prayer. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Let's examine ourselves. Some would dare to die. Let me ask you this. Will you dare to live? Will you dare to live a surrendered life? Dare to live for a cause greater than your own individual desires, the cause of our Savior. May I say the cause of our republic? Let's examine ourselves. We're going to sing a hymn in just a moment, but first let's pray. Our Lord in heaven, we are thankful for this morning, thankful for our observance of Remembrance Sunday, thankful for Memorial Day and thankful for what it represents, thankful for the many thousands of lives that have been sacrificed in the defense of liberty. I ask you, Father, never, help us never to take these things for granted. Help us to be mindful of those that stand ready to defend our nation and those that have served in the past and those that have made the ultimate sacrifice. But Father, I ask you also, help us to examine ourselves concerning the crowning sacrifice, the complete sacrifice, the comprehensive sacrifice, the substitutionary atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if there's an individual here this morning that does not have an assurance of eternity, I pray that one would come to that assurance, responding to the gospel before it is eternally too late. But yet for believers, help us to surrender our lives. You know that we have needs. Your Bible tells us that. But help us to surrender ourselves to you and to serve you and to make a difference in this old world. My Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation, this time of prayer, this time of examination. This I ask in my Savior's name. Amen. And amen. Thank you so very much. Hymn number 478. Let's sing a couple.